You're listening to Midlife Side Quest, the Over the Hill Gaming Podcast. Here's your host, John Wall.
It's June 18th, 2026, and welcome to episode 187 of Midlife Side Quest, the Over the Hill Video Game Podcast. I'm your host, John Wall, and every Thursday morning I bring you 15 minutes of video game impressions, industry news, and tales of a Gen X geek. Thank you very much for tuning into the program this morning. On this week's show, I'm going to be talking about the latest James Bond video game, 007 First Light. As always, though, let's kick things off with a look at the news. Well, I'm man enough to admit when I'm wrong. And when Asha Sharma took over for Phil Spencer at Xbox, I didn't panic. Xbox was obviously in need of a change, so I gave them the benefit of the doubt, and I was even encouraged by a lot of the things that she was saying right off the bat. The messaging was Xbox is back, but in reality, it looks like maybe she was there to take Xbox around back like old Yeller and put it out of its misery. After rumors last week of mass layoffs coming to Xbox, this week comes reports that Microsoft is looking to close multiple studios, including Compulsion, Ninja Theory, and Double Fine, and it's likely that there are others facing the chopping block as well. Those three studios are responsible for some of the most critically successful and interesting games to come out of Xbox in years. Games like South of Midnight, Psychonauts 2, and the Hellblade series. These reports come just hours after a number of high-profile leaders at Xbox announced their departure, like the head of Xbox Game Studios, Craig Duncan, formerly of Rare, Xbox Game Studios Chief of Staff, Luis O'Connor, and the head of Call of Duty Studio Treyarch, Mark Gordon. The reporting states that these studios are in negotiations, trying to make a deal to go independent again or possibly to find a buyer, which I sincerely hope ends up being the case. But even with that best case scenario, the damage being done to the Xbox brand is hard to overstate. One of the things that I always loved most about Xbox first-party studios is that when Phil Spencer took over, he seemed more than happy to let them create unique and interesting titles, even if they weren't going to be big smash hits that made a ton of money. Games like Pentiment, Grounded, The Keeper, Kiln, you know, the list goes on, and that no longer seems to be the case. Xbox seems to be going the Sony route and only focusing on their huge AAA franchises like Fallout, Halo, and Call of Duty. And what's even worse is that they're making these massive cuts literally 1 week after their big showcase where they showed off a ton of new games and touted their big 25th anniversary. They brought all these people together to celebrate the past and the future of Xbox and then stabbed everybody in the gut Red Wedding style. They literally let Ninja Theory announce a brand new game knowing at the time that they had no intention of publishing it. That is just nuts. And what really drives me crazy is that they were so close to getting things right. I don't know what in the world is wrong with them that they think that having fewer first-party games, which is going to hurt Game Pass, and going back to exclusive games and hoping that maybe people buy their next new system, which is surely going to be very expensive. They think that's a solid plan. It's not going to work. I'm sorry. The strategy should have been to make their games available in as many places as possible and create a powerful new console that offers cool features that will make their most dedicated fans want to invest in it. That's the play. Be the biggest third-party publisher in the world and offer a premium console for those who want it. So either they're too stupid or just don't care enough to make this work. I honestly don't know which it is or which one is worse, but it sucks for those of us who have supported them over the years. And more importantly, it sucks for the coders, designers, testers, artists, programmers, animators, and engineers who are about to get the shaft in the name of corporate greed. I honestly thought that they'd do better. My mistake. I've been a pretty big James Bond fan for most of my life. The first Bond movie I ever saw was Octopussy back in the 80s. I remember seeing it on cable when I was like probably 8 years old and thinking, who the heck is this dude? Since then, I've gone back and watched pretty much every film from Dr. No to No Time to Die. I like the wacky cheesiness of the Roger Moore films and the quiet intensity of Daniel Craig. I've also played a good amount of the video games. GoldenEye is obviously a classic, but that's really more of an amazing multiplayer game than an amazing Bond game. 007 First Light, on the other hand, is an incredible James Bond game. It captures the spirit and the excitement of the series, while also making this incarnation of 007 unique and its own. In fact, from the characters and dialogue to the action and the plot, I'd say that First Light stands right alongside the very best of the movies, which is really an amazing feat. So this game serves as something of an origin story for Bond. When the game starts, he's a young Navy airman whose plane is shot down over Iceland. As a sole survivor of the crash, he stumbles on a secret research facility and finds himself in the middle of some criminal shenanigans. And after demonstrating a unique talent for dispatching the bad guys, he gets the attention of MI6, who recruit him into their 00 program. Getting to play as this inexperienced Bond is a fun twist on the character. He's still got the charm and the swagger that you would expect, but he's a little greener and a little rougher around the edges. During the early hours of the game, you'll go through training with the other recruits, brushing up on your hand-to-hand combat, shooting, and driving skills. You'll also be introduced to familiar MI6 faces like Moneypenny and Q, and the cast in this game is pretty fantastic from top to bottom. Patrick Gibson, who is best known as a young Dexter in the Showtime series Dexter Original Sin, is the new James Bond. He seems like a natural in the role, and honestly, like, if they ever decided to kind of go this route in the new films, the reboots that they're doing, I think he would be really good in the role. Another standout is Lenny James as Greenway. I think he's been in a lot of the Walking Dead shows. He's Bond's trainer in the 00 program and a reluctant mentor. He's a great character, and the performance is maybe my favorite in the game. The only bit of weird casting, I would say, is Lenny Kravitz as a kind of flamboyant pirate villain guy. And it's not that he's, like, bad in it. He's just, he's not exactly a menacing villain type of actor. Other than that, though, top marks all around for the performances. So First Light is developed by IO Interactive, who you probably know as the people behind the Hitman series. And when this new project was announced, it made a certain amount of sense given the Hitman series' focus on stealth and costumes and using gadgets to come up with creative ways to take out your enemies. That all seemed like a great fit for 007. But James Bond is also known for big, over-the-top action set pieces, which definitely isn't how Agent 47 usually gets down. Thankfully, they nail both the spy stuff and the big action pretty well. When you're being stealthy, you will use your handy Q watch and your Q lens to do all sorts of fun stuff, like hack into a nearby computer to distract a guard, or use a small laser to blow up a fire extinguisher, giving you cover. There's a lot of eavesdropping on conversations, pickpocketing, all sorts of sneaky stuff. And in those segments, they give you a lot of freedom to tackle the situation how you want to. Should you distract this person by lighting a nearby trash can on fire, or find a nearby open window and shimmy across a ledge to get where you're trying to go? That all feels pretty close to the Hitman lineage. And the big action bits are really good, too. There are some amazing set pieces that would feel right at home in, like, an Uncharted game. And while the shooting and the cover mechanics aren't quite as tight as I'd like them to be, you know, they're just a little bit loosey-goosey, the gunfights can be pretty intense and exciting still. Ammo's also pretty limited, so it's not just a matter of holding down the trigger until everyone's dead. You got to be smart about it. It is super satisfying, though, to press the Y button to throw your gun at an enemy's head when you run out of bullets. And on top of the game playing and looking extremely good, it just feels so 007. It feels like one of the films in game form. The music is right. The one-liners are good. You've got your sexy Bond lady. And, of course, you get to drive around in a super slick Aston Martin. It just works on pretty much every imaginable level. I think for AAA action-adventure fans, this is a no-brainer. But if you love Bond as well, this is a Game of the Year contender for sure. Before we go today, first I would like to send a very happy Father's Day to all of the dads out there. I hope you have a fantastic weekend and get to spend a lot of time with the family, with the kids, and, you know, maybe get some quiet time to catch up on some video games if you want. If you know me, one of my favorite things to do is check out new restaurants. So I've got reservations Sunday night for a Southeast Asian restaurant that I've been dying to check out. So I'm very excited about that. Also, a little update on the Pride Month fundraiser. Donations have been a bit slow so far. There's still a couple weeks left, but I'm changing things up just a little. Instead of doing random drawings each week for the prizes, I've got a link on the fundraising page to a Google Doc with all of the prizes listed. And whenever someone makes a donation, they can just go there and pick something from that list, put their name next to the item, and there you go. I just thought that might help things out a little bit. And there's lots of cool stuff on there still. There's Game Informer subscriptions, Steam codes, some really awesome prizes donated by some great supporters. And new prizes will continue to be added. Today, I'm adding on something really cool. We've got two different book collections from the folks at Retro Game Books and Boss Fight Books. So go to GoFundMe.com and search Midlife Side Quest and get all the info on those. Again, all the money goes to Outfront Minnesota, and they do amazing work for the LGBTQ plus community. So thank you very much again for your support. And thank you for listening to Midlife Side Quest. I appreciate you making time in your day to hang out with me. You can catch a new episode of the show every Thursday morning wherever you listen to podcasts, and you can support the show by subscribing and leaving a review. Until next time, I'm your host, John Wall. Have a great rest of your week, and don't forget to save.